Hey, everyone. We're discussing season 3, episode 4 on the topic of hospice ministry. As always, if you haven't listened to the episode, we encourage you to stop and listen to that first. This episode is really an entire episode about death, which I know is really heavy, and about being present with the dying in the midst of a culture where death and illness are huge taboos. So Ryan, I would love to hear from you just more about your experiences with those who are sick and dying in China, either just in the hospital or more broadly.
Yeah, it's a very heavy thing for sure. And in China, like everyone else in the world, dying is not pleasant. It's something people don't like to talk about. And I think because also, even though people are not as superstitious now, but still people look at death as unlucky and dirty in some way. So it's not pleasant to be around the dying, and you don't want to get bad luck from being around the dying or the dead. Another thing is that it's very tricky for families to figure out how much to tell the dying, especially if it's an elderly parent. A lot of times they don't share, like the Sapso said, they don't share that they have terminal illness because you don't want them to worry. And so the more you are able to hide from them, sometimes the better. So my dad, one time, he was very sick in China, and then we took him to the hospital, and he had lung cancer, and it was assumed that we did not tell him what was happening. And the nurse and the doctors, actually, I have to say, he kind of double-checked with us. Does he know what is happening? So like, it's a very common thing. And we didn't tell my grandma when she was dying of lymphoma that we didn't tell her she had cancer. And so it's a very complicated thing. And because of that, people also don't want to be around patients as much, just fear of saying something that they didn't want to say or being asked too much about what's happening. So being present with the dying is hard. But on the other hand, there's a huge business of funeral profits and things. And one thing, people don't like to make money off the dying, but at the same time, this is a very big business in China because there's so many people in China, so many people dying. There's a lot of money there. And I remember one of my uncles, when they died, within minutes, there's no HIPAA in China, like not a lot of privacy. So within minutes of his dying, my cousin and my aunt started getting phone calls from funeral homes, from all these Taoist groups offering services.
Wow.
And it must be like the ambulance were called and the nurses were just texting all these groups, hey, someone's dying, should you call? So there's a lot of business, a lot of money there after the death. But before dying, it's a very complicated place to be. And also another factor is that in hospitals, there's not like chaplaincy. Chaplaincy is not a thing in China. So you don't have people walking with the dead, walking with the family to help them process things. So, you know, compared to your experience in America, you know, what do you think that would be like if you don't have a chaplain in the hospital?
Man, yeah, I think that would be really hard, obviously. I think it's a good example of, it's a really good example of part of the kind of ongoing, long-lasting impact that the church has had on a lot of Western cultures. Just the history of the chaplaincy, the history of that being a part of our hospital systems comes very much out of just Christians doing exactly what these Christians in China are doing and realizing that part of our call is to accompany those who are suffering and dying. I think a lot about I've had two experiences in which I'd say I felt very aware of the importance of chaplains and the chaplaincy. So my grandfather was not a believer, and we had, you know, many people in the family had tried to share the gospel with him many, many times. He lived a very long life. He lived into his 90s. And he, in the last 6 months before his death, he was in the hospital. And this woman who was a chaplain at the hospital came by and asked him if, you know, he believed. And he said no, but she asked him if he wanted her to read scripture with him, and he said yes. And that opened a door that had never been opened for like 90 years beforehand. And it was just such a powerful example to me of like the end of life matters, you know, like it's not just about the beginning of life, but the end of life matters as well. And you don't know how God is going to work. And then I also think of my daughter, when she was only 6 weeks old, we were in the hospital. I was in the hospital with her, and it just really massively opened my eyes to just how hard it is to be in the hospital and just what a miserable place hospitals are. And how much like all people in hospitals are confronting really deep issues and deep questions regarding life and the purpose of life and suffering. And just like what an incredible and important ministry it is for Christians to be present in those places. So yeah, I think listening to this episode, working on this episode, was just making me really thankful that we still have these really robust programs in the U.S. and just thankful for these brothers and sisters who are seeking to be faithful in similar ways in places where there's not like, you know, money for the chaplaincy, you know, there's not like official programs to, but it was also making me think, we've talked a lot elsewhere about how, we've heard Chinese House Church Christians talk about getting arrested, or Christians who get arrested provide China's jails with its chaplains. And just thinking about how this is kind of an interesting parallel to that, that there's just such a need across China for people who are able and willing to walk with the suffering and to talk about spiritual things with those who are suffering. And whether that's the jails or the hospitals, God is clearly placing Christians in places where they're there and they're present and able to do it. I'm curious to know, Ryan, how you, like, there's a lot of just conversation throughout this episode about what it means to share the gospel and whether sharing the gospel, you know, really should just be focused on, you know, saving souls, as has been said, or, you know, whether there are more robust ways for us to understand what it means to share the gospel. I know you're a pastor, and so I'm just curious, like, to hear from you how some of Joshua and Sean's thoughts land with you when it comes to what it means to share the gospel.
Well, gospel has many points of entry. It's not just one message that people have to believe in, one doctrine. There are a lot of aspects to the gospels that you need to make sure people understand. And so, yes, saving souls is one of them, but also caring for the body, because we're embodied beings that will have resurrected bodies. So caring for our body before or after our death, it gives dignity to people to know that they're important, their bodies are important, right? People are fed, make sure that their hairs are cut, like in this episode. Also caring for their family, knowing that God cares for them as well, even if they don't believe in Jesus, that Jesus cares for the people who are grieving and dying. So there are a lot of aspects, caring for people's finances, because God provides, he feeds the 5,000. He raises the widow's son, because the son of the widow is usually her financial source, that if she loses a son, she loses a son, there's no one to support her. So there are a lot of aspects to Jesus' gospel that goes beyond saving souls. So I think what these people are doing is practicing a very holistic view of the gospel and demonstrate that to people. But also, like you mentioned, in hospitals, not a pleasant place, especially in China. It's not like here, at least we have people who are dying in their own rooms, they have hospice rooms, and in China, hospitals are overrun by people. You have two or three people sharing the same room. You have people laying in the hallway, dying on the hallway. So there's no privacy and not a lot of dignity in the process of dying. And also, because you're regarded as unlucky and dirty, people kind of shun you. So having people that move toward that type of situation is very powerful. And also acknowledging that this is not just a physical passing, but also as a spiritual need. And someone going there to open up this whole category of a spiritual conversation, it's forbidden in the Chinese, at least communist public policy. But at the same time, it's just, I think it gives people room and space to talk about something that they maybe were wondering about in private, that maybe they're thinking about, but now finally someone's able to open up the question, open up the space, talk to them and answer some questions. I think that's a pretty powerful thing. Recently, there was a movie that came out in Hong Kong last year. It's a very popular movie, like best-selling movie in Hong Kong all time. And it's the title in Chinese called Po Di Yu. And in English, it's called The Last Dance, but directly translated as Breaking Hell. And it's about these Taoist priests who would go to people's funerals and do the stand and dance and ritual to help the deceased break out of hell and like save the soul from hell. So this whole kind of song and dance is helping people break out of hell, which is a very traditional thing people do in China, Hong Kong. They still have that a lot in funerals. But one very important and probably the most famous line from the movie is that this funeral director goes to these Taoist priests and he said, you know, you help dead people break out of hell. My job is to help living people, help the family break out of hell. And the Taoist priest like, oh, you know, what are you talking about? The living don't need to break out of hell. And then the funeral director says, yes, the living have to break out of hell too. There's a lot of hell around surrounding the living. And I think that is what this type of ministry does, is that we help people save their souls, but also help the people around them to recognize the brokenness of the world and that they are surrounded by brokenness. And how do we find hope to break out the hell that they live in?
Yeah, I think throughout the whole season, but definitely in this episode, there's just a lot of food for thought about how it's not our souls versus our bodies, or, you know, like the goal is not for our souls to escape this world, but Jesus came to redeem all of creation, you know, our souls, our bodies, our families, our cities, this entire world. He is coming to redeem it all. And so it's just such a, I think what that quote from that movie, it's such a beautiful reminder that when we're talking about death and we're talking about serving those who are dying, we're talking about many aspects of that, and that the needs are great and the chance to point people to Christ's full and final redemption are so abundant. Well, we will wrap up there, but we are quickly ending our season. We have one more episode. Next week, we're going to dive a little bit more into some of what we were getting into today, just the heart behind and the theology behind why people in China's house churches are leaning more and more into mercy ministry and what's motivating them and driving that. Thank you so much for joining us. The House Church in China podcast tells the stories of today's Chinese house churches and is a production of China Partnership. You can listen to these stories on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. To hear more stories and to find out how you can support the Chinese house churches, visit housechurchinchinapodcast.com.